state Republicans gaveled into a special session of the legislature called by Governor Evers yesterday to consider expanding the state's Medicaid program and promptly gaveled back out. The Assembly and Senate both adjourned after less than a minute each. By turning down federal money to make more people eligible for Badger Care, lawmakers rejected an incentive that's being offered to the 12 states that have yet to go through with Medicaid expansion since 2014. State Democrats have repeatedly pushed the issue. Republican leaders, though, say it could drive up the cost of private plans and ultimately saddle the state with too much spending in the future, especially if federal commitments go down. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see the state accept money to expand the Medicaid program here? Are you in a spot where you'd be eligible for Badger Care if it was expanded? If so, would you do that? Are you currently on Badger Care, or have you been in the past? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter. Laurel, welcome back. I don't know if we have Laurel. We'll keep trying. In just a few moments, we'll also be talking to a UW expert on health care and funding. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you think the state should take the federal money to expand Badger Care here in the state? Or do you think that ultimately we had the right decision soon after the Affordable Care Act was passed in not taking that extra Medicaid money from the federal government? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll bring Laurel White on hopefully in just a moment. Here she is. Laurel, hi. Sorry we lost you.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
All right. What happened yesterday with this, what ended up being a very short special session?
So Republicans continued their opposition to the Medicaid expansion. This is something they've talked about for several years now, opposing this. It was first offered in 2014. They really haven't changed their tune, but Governor Evers kind of tried to amp up the debate, called the special session. Republicans pushed back and said, nope, we're not even going to come to the floor. We're just going to gavel in, gavel out.
So there was no argument on the floor, but there were arguments, I think, from the sidelines from both sides. What, first of all, have we heard from Governor Evers and Democrats as they make the case that, hey, now's a good time to do this?
Well, you know, aside from the arguments that they make about expanding Medicaid to about 90,000 people at this point would be eligible under the expansion by raising the income cap, and the sort of healthcare savings that they say would be associated with that because of, you know, putting more money up front, preventative care, not paying for emergency room visits that folks can't foot the bill for themselves. They talk about this $1 billion sweetener that's coming from the federal government for states that haven't taken the expansion yet. And they say, we really can't pass this up. This is a lot of money and really helpful now as we're recovering from the pandemic.
And on the Republican side, these are similar arguments, apart from that $1 billion bonus that we've heard from Democrats all along the way. Republicans, what's been their argument?
Well, their primary argument is that there isn't really a coverage gap in Wisconsin, that the folks that would be eligible under the expansion already have access to affordable health care on the private marketplace in the state. So there really isn't a need there in their argument. And they say that this could increase costs, and that it could actually, in the biggest part of their argument, saddle Wisconsin with more money, more spending down the road if the federal government kind of walks back some of its commitments to paying for Medicaid, or enrollment is bigger than expected, costs balloon for the state based on the number of people that sign up for this. They just don't want to get involved in that and take that risk.
And this all comes in the midst of the state setting up a new budget. Governor Evers, I believe, had assumed this Medicaid acceptance happening in the state budget and factored that into his numbers. What happens to his budget ideas without that?
He absolutely did, and that's a huge amount of revenue. I mean, that $1 billion sweetener alone, a huge amount of money, the other money that's coming in, aside from the sweetener that has to do with Medicaid. But this isn't unusual. The governor included a lot of revenue proposals that Republicans have taken out. He proposed legalizing marijuana in Wisconsin and taxing it and taking the revenue from that. So what we're really seeing in budget negotiations is Republicans departing in a big way from what the governor has proposed and kind of starting from their own sort of square one in terms of this is the money that we have to spend and this is how we're going to spend it.
Laurel, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks, Rob.
Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. She got us up to speed on yesterday's special session of the legislature to consider Medicaid expansion with federal money. Republicans adjourned in less than a minute. Now we're taking a look at the impact this could have on Wisconsinites. Donna Friedsam is a researcher and the Health Policy Programs Director at UW-Madison's Institute for Research on Poverty. Donna, welcome back to Central Time. And not hearing Donna now. We'll get her on the line. In the meantime, I'll remind you that you can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you think the state should accept this Medicaid money? Let's bring on a caller or two while we reconnect with our guest. Let's start off with Randy in Portage. Randy, hi.
Yes, hi. I'm a former Badger Care recipient, as is my daughter. And unfortunately, it's very emotional, but without Badger Care, I would not have my daughter. The state saved her life. And how these Republicans can be so horrible and not expand this is beyond my comprehension. The state saved her. She's a steady worker. She's never been unemployed. She was a good student. She's nearing 30 years old now. Contributes to society, has a good paying job, house, pays taxes on her income, pays property taxes. The state doesn't see the big picture here, how saving one person can contribute more to society than just their shortfall and short vision in what they're doing.
Randy, thanks for calling in. I'm glad your daughter ended up being okay. Sounds like a rough time. Thanks for sharing that story at 800-642-1234. As we talk about Medicaid expansion in Wisconsin, not happening, at least for now. Donna Friedsam is on the line. Sorry we lost you there, Donna. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you.
Well, can you remind us of a little bit of the history? Wisconsin did something different than most other states soon after the Affordable Care Act under the Walker administration. We didn't take that federal expansion money. We moved some people off of Badger Care, saying that they could get onto the marketplace, but expanded Badger Care to some people who hadn't been previously able to get into it. Can you remind us of the unique course we plotted here?
That's exactly right. We actually previously had expanded Medicaid under Governor Doyle such that parents and caretaker adults had coverage beyond the Affordable Care Act's existing eligibility limits, and that started in 2008. But childless adults or adults who do not have dependent children did not have that coverage. So when the Affordable Care Act came in, Governor Walker decided that he could remove that Medicaid eligibility for the parents and caretaker adults, moved about 75,000 of them off of Medicaid coverage and told them to seek coverage under the Affordable Care Act marketplace instead, brought that Medicaid eligibility level down to 100% of the federal poverty level, which is lower than the Affordable Care Act standard for eligibility. At the same time, though, the state opened up eligibility for childless adults. Again, adults without dependent children. So you may have had children at some point in your life, but they've aged out of dependency. So all adults became eligible up to what we call 100% of the federal poverty level, which is about $12,500 for an individual. Currently in the state, it's actually $12,800 for an individual annually, or for a family of four, it's $26,500 a year.
So the big question then in the years that have passed, Donna, those families that had been eligible but weren't, and the idea Governor Walker and others said was, that's okay, because now we have the federal exchange and subsidies from the federal government, they're not going to be left out in the cold. Do we know what has panned out for that group of people?
Right. So my research team actually is completing has completed a study on that. That group of people were called the transitioners, and we're actually in the process of putting out results about that right now. And
have found that most of the people that lost the coverage back in 2014 did not find their way to other coverage, and many of them became uninsured. And a couple of years later, most of them ended up either uninsured or back on Medicaid. So it did not turn out that those people were able to find the wherewithal to take up coverage in the private sector or through the marketplace as had been intended, unfortunately.
If they ended up back on Medicaid, I assume that means their income went back down to that threshold?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now we've got this talk, the never-ending talk, about the idea of taking federal money plus a little bonus here of $1 billion. What would accepting that federal money and expanding to that old threshold again, what would that mean in Wisconsin today?
So what that would allow is for people in that that margin between the 100% eligibility that we have in Wisconsin and what the Affordable Care Act specifies, which is up to 138% of the federal poverty level, that group that currently does not have eligibility for Medicaid, it would allow them to enroll in Medicaid coverage. So that would be the parents and caretaker adults who previously lost coverage, and that would also include the childless adults that today don't have that coverage. So that would be about what is estimated to be about the 90,000 people that would gain eligibility for Medicaid coverage. Now, recognize that there is today about 40,000 people in that, of those 90,000, that are indeed covered under the marketplace, have taken up coverage elsewhere. Some of them may have been in Medicaid at some point, some of them may have been somewhere else, but right now today they are enrolled in marketplace coverage, and that is one of the concerns that have been voiced by people who have opposed this Medicaid expansion, is that it's going to take 40,000 people out of the marketplace and move them into Medicaid at the same time that it takes another 40,000 people from the uninsured and puts them into Medicaid.
Continue our talk with Donna Friedsam, health policy expert at the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW-Madison, looking at the issue of Medicaid expansion here in the state after Republicans shut down a special session of the legislature on that issue yesterday. Donna Friedsam stays with us, researcher and health policy programs director at UW-Madison's Institute for Research on Poverty, and with you at 800-642-1234. If you have an opinion to share, thoughts on this subject, or questions for our guest, 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go to your calls now. Joy is with us in West Bend. Joy, hello.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to mention this. I am a retired nurse. I've worked as a volunteer nurse at a free clinic here in West Bend, and we could see then when people have access to medical care, then they're able to go to work. They're able to pay taxes, so they're able to contribute. I think if the legislators are afraid that private insurance people would have to pay more if we accepted Medicaid expansion, that doesn't make sense. We already pay more because people who don't have insurance and don't have preventative care then have to wait until they have to go for an emergency room, and then we end up paying more for our insurance because they're unable to pay then. And I just can't believe how the legislators, federal or state, can keep refusing to give people access to affordable health care when they have good coverage for themselves and their families.
Joy, thanks a lot for the call. I want to bring Donna in on this. So what do you think of Joy's thoughts on the kind of the economic impact of people having access to this coverage?
Well, I think Joy is noticing something that is a debate that we see, where what we hear is people who are opposing the expansion are often pointing out that they say, we don't want to put people on a welfare program and keep them from working. But in fact, what we know from studies is that getting people on Medicaid often helps people return to work. It helps them to get the services, the health care coverage they need, and stabilize their finances so that they can work productively. And many of them do work. Many people who are actually on Medicaid are full-time and part-time employed. In fact, almost 70% of people who are on Medicaid are working productively, but they don't get health insurance through their employers. So it's not that Medicaid is inconsistent with work, and in many ways, Medicaid helps people be actively working. I think that's a difference in the way people consider the Medicaid program, and that people are concerned that it is keeping people out of the workforce.
Thanks for the call, Joy, at 800-642-1234. Before we go back to more of our callers, Donna, one more concern that Republicans have raised is, okay, this might work great for now, but if we're making these commitments at the state level and then the federal money dries up over time, this could have a big impact on the state budget that we would have a really hard time making up for. What are your thoughts on that argument?
Well, you know, I think that it's always reasonable for us, an elected official to be concerned about the current and future of state budgets. And so I can't prognosticate about what will happen at the federal or state level with regard to budgets. But what I can say is this. This was a concern that was noted back in 2010 and 2012 when the legislature was debating the Medicaid expansion, and the federal money did not go away. And so more and more states continued to adopt the Medicaid expansion, recognizing that it was a federal commitment to the program. And it's similar to way back when Medicaid first came along in 1965, and some states were slower to adopt the Medicaid program back then, having these kinds of concerns. And it took Arizona actually like 20, 25 years as a state to take it on. But people pretty much figure out that this is a program that the federal government has made a commitment to and has seen the value in. So I'm not sure we're going to see the federal government step back from its commitment to this program, because at this point, 75 million people in the country rely on this program in order to get access to a basic need service, their health care. And so, I think, it's always a question whenever the state decides to enter into a commitment to building a road, a highway, a school, and take federal money for it, whether they're going to be able to get their federal money next year, what they thought they were going to get, but no more so with the Medicaid program.
Let's go back to our callers now with Gianni in Marquette County. Gianni, hi.
Yes, hello. I'm enjoying the program. Listen, I am very appreciative of the Affordable Care Act and Badger Care. I've been on it for a number of years now, and let me tell you why I'm on it. I have spent the last 15 years caring for my parents. I had to quit my job in 2016, and I've had exactly 1 week of vacation in the last 15 years. Now, if I had put my parents, if they'd become wards of the state, they don't have a lot of money, put them in a nursing home, what sort of costs would the taxpayers, federal and state, incur from they being in a nursing home? I think the state is getting a real good deal from me.
Johnny, thanks for sharing your experience. So your thoughts, Donna?
I think that there's a lot of people out there who really value their experience with the Medicaid program. And I want to note that the people, you'll hear a lot of those kinds of stories where people are very grateful for their opportunity to participate in the program. That being said, I don't want to delegitimize that the concerns that are being voiced on the other side about the program and increasing participation in the program. That said, as well, I think it's clear at this point with 38 other states participating, and not only blue states, but blue and red states, that there's a large amount of evidence that this program is very good for individuals and families. It's been very good for state budgets. And really, at this point, we're not really arguing whether it's a good program or whether it helps people. We're really arguing philosophical differences about what the role is of states and the public sector in health and healthcare.
Thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it. Donna, just in our last minute or so, this is apparently not going to happen this year. What are you watching for now when it comes to Medicaid and Badger Care in Wisconsin?
You know, I think it's going to be a challenge for the state budget, of course, to work out the details now that it's not going to accept the federal match or the increase in the federal funds, and what how the state is going to address the other healthcare related items that were in the budget that were priorities, I think, for both parties now that it doesn't have those funds available. And so I'll be watching for that. And as well, I'm going to be watching at the federal level for the several healthcare initiatives that are emerging and how our state is going to adjust to potential changes with in as they emerge at the federal level.
Donna, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Donna Friedsam is a researcher and health policy programs director at UW-Madison's Institute for Research on Poverty. Earlier, we talked to WPR reporter Laurel White. They joined us for a look at the state legislature starting and ending a special session of the legislature quickly on Medicaid expansion, what the move means for lower-income people here in the state.